Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang. This week, let's talk about infertility and something called oocyte aging. So oocyte aging roughly translates to your eggs are older and not as high quality as they were when you were younger. So one would assume age is actually a factor here. Is that right, Kate?
Yes, absolutely. The main causes of oocyte aging are aging and also premature ovarian insufficiency. And today we'll focus on aging itself and leave POI for another time. So here's some data points that I think are really interesting. Fertility declines as a female matures, with gradual decline beginning at age 32. This decline in fertility is likely multifactorial. Females are born with a fixed number of oocytes or eggs, which decreases with age. The quality of those oocytes also falls with age because of mitotic errors, which are errors that are how the cell divides, and they occur more frequently with increasing age. During the menstrual cycle, the process to select a dominant follicle for ovulation, the best egg to release at ovulation, does not exclude those genetically abnormal oocytes that increase with aging. Thus, as the female ages, the number of chromosomally abnormal oocytes ovulated increases, which results in lower fertility and increased risk of miscarriage. And although exceptions exist, there are few spontaneous conceptions that result in live births in females over 45. And then of note, there are other insults to the ovary, such as cigarette smoking, radiation, chemotherapy, environmental toxins, and autoimmune diseases, which we talked about a little bit in other episodes, that also accelerate this follicular loss or this oocyte loss over time. So women with a depleted ovarian follicle pool, meaning how many of those oocytes they're bringing to the table, may continue to ovulate regularly, but have infertility due to the poor quality of those oocytes remaining.
Oh my goodness. So essentially, like with everything else, our ovaries accumulate damage as they age, which, you know, I mean, that feels like my body or my car or anything else in my life.
Yes.
But also then we are actually using this finite store of eggs every month. So there's fewer to choose from, right? So what kind of a testing would a woman receive to determine her egg quality? Like, how is this measured?
Good question. So diminished ovarian reserve can refer to diminished oocyte quality or egg quality, oocyte quantity, or our reproductive potential. And the identification of diminished ovarian reserve is an important component of that initial infertility evaluation. There are a number of screening tests utilized, but no single test is highly reliable for predicting pregnancy. Therefore, doctors will coordinate those tests and look at them for the best assessment. So to answer your question directly, the antral follicle count, which is imaging, and then 3 lab tests, AMH, and then cycle day 3, if you're cycling, FSH and estradiol. The AMH levels appear to be an early, reliable, direct indicator of declining ovarian function. So the lower the AMH, the more an indication of oocyte aging. And then we're also looking at the cycle day 3 estradiol and FSH together. And ideally, we're looking for an FSH below 10 to indicate adequate ovarian reserve. So the short answer is the lab tests are AMH, FSH, estradiol, and the imaging is the antral follicle count.
Okay. And AMH stands for anti-Müllerian hormone.
Correct.
So essentially what we're saying here is that there's no one definitive test that sums up your egg quality, but we can get a rough picture by looking at the antral follicle count, hormone levels on day 3, cycle day 3, and especially the anti-Müllerian hormone. What's the difference between poor ovarian reserve and advanced maternal age?
Good question. It's not a simple answer. You can have diminished ovarian reserve and be under 35, and you can have adequate ovarian reserve and be defined as advanced maternal age. An advanced maternal age simply means a woman over 35 at the time of delivery of her child. There are no universally agreed upon criteria for defining diminished ovarian reserve, kind of like I was mentioning before. It refers to a woman of reproductive age who has regular menses, but reduced fecundity, you know, baby in arms, or a decreased response to ovarian stimulation during IVF, essentially, when compared to age-matched women. So again, we're looking at the AMH, FSH, estradiol, and how they respond to ovarian stimulation. Interestingly, elevated estradiol levels, so when we do that cycle day 3 estradiol FSH, those elevated estradiol levels are due to advanced premature follicle recruitment. So what's happening is you need more estrogen to get that egg to be released than you did when you were younger. And that occurs in women with poor ovarian reserve. So sometimes you'll get your lab test back and your FSH will look normal because you have a high estradiol level, which is inhibiting that FSH production. And it can mask one of the signs of decreased ovarian reserve in perimenopausal women. So to go back, what's the difference between poor ovarian reserve and advanced maternal age? They're just separate things. One is looking at the quality of the eggs and how much we have left. And one is just a number, an age.
Okay.
But they frequently go together.
That makes sense. Okay. So, and what is a fertility specialist going to do in this situation?
Yeah. So with your fertility specialist, you're going to probably get, at a minimum, ovulation induction, maybe IVF. They may recommend an egg donor depending on your numbers. And if there are no medical, financial, or social limitations, they usually will suggest a more aggressive approach with women who are over 35 and have a smaller pool of eggs left. So, for example, for women who do not have adequate ovarian reserve, infertility specialists will usually recommend using donor oocytes, a donor egg, or alternate family planning options like adoption or surrogacy, because from the research, these women have a poor prognosis for live birth from either spontaneous conception or with IVF. So that's a combo of over 35 and not adequate ovarian reserve.
Okay.
Then for women with adequate ovarian reserve that are over 35, but also have other abnormal testing on a fertility evaluation, maybe male factor fertility or a tubal issue, they'll recommend proceeding directly to IVF because they have enough ovarian reserve. Because again, IVF has demonstrated efficacy, you know, working well for these women. And they're more likely to get pregnant and have baby in arms.
Excellent. And so that's all very intervention heavy.
Yes.
What naturopathic care do you recommend for women of advanced maternal age who may or may not have been diagnosed with poor ovarian reserve?
Great question. Lifestyle habit is supremely important here. We want her to be eating lots of fruits and vegetables, stop drinking alcohol, get in regular exercise, doesn't have to be extreme exercise. It can be a 30-minute walk, get plenty of rest, manage her stress. And then there are some specific supplements in addition to the basic preconception supplements. And my overarching umbrella strategy for oocyte aging, like say she has a low AMH, she's over 35, her FSH is creeping up, includes using diet and supplements to support egg health and improve egg quality by considering four factors. As we age, we have declining ovarian androgens, and those androgens protect our eggs. So I will often run a DHEA lab, a DHEAS lab on that patient. And if she has low androgens like testosterone or DHEA, I will supplement. I'm also looking at her mitochondrial health and supplementing with CoQ10. We're thinking about telomere shortening, and we're thinking about oxidative stress. Some of my other favorite supplements in this world, in addition to CoQ10 or DHEA, maybe melatonin or L-lipoic acid or inositol, depending on the situation and the specifics.
Well, and I mean, with the exception of androgens specifically, this is a lot of what we do for patients who generally have age-related issues or who are disproportionately sick for their age, right?
Absolutely.
And so if we replace like androgens with just general hormone balancing and add lifestyle modification, that's pretty much everything we would focus on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it sounds like aging or breakdown of any part is pretty similar to aging and breakdown of the body as a whole, and it can be worked on in a similar manner.
Yeah, absolutely. So in my perfect world, let's say a client is going to go through IVF and she's not needing an egg donor. Then while we're prepping for IVF in that like 3 to 6 month window that it takes just to get there, we're doing all those things we just talked about. And then I see even better success than just the IVF alone, which absolutely is possibly warranted in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Good idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there a corollary situation with men or advanced paternal age?
There is, although advanced paternal age is far less talked about, especially, you know, in preconception visits and things like that. But it turns out that aging sperm is as much of a factor as aging eggs. So in spite of the fact that sperm is made fresh all the time, right? It's not it's not finite in the way that eggs are finite. It is still aging sperm contributes to increased rate of mutations and specific genetic disorders, increased susceptibility of the offspring of older men to disease and of multifactorial origin. So that's things like neurocognitive disease, psychiatric disorders, and even malignancies, increased risk of autism in the offspring. And also, interestingly, the offspring, and this one's kind of protective actually, the offspring of older men, so men who are older when they actually conceive this offspring, tend to have longer telomeres, which may help them to prepare for an environment in which they are expected to have a higher age when they themselves reproduce. So it's like a genetic sort of planning for the future. The mechanisms or the proposed mechanisms for the changes to sperm quality and the risk factors for old men are similar to those for women of advanced maternal age. So increased toxin exposure, decreased antioxidant function, and also the accumulation of genetic mutations due to the number of cell reproductive cycles. So very, very similar.
Fascinating. Right. Absolutely. So we should be protecting the aging egg and the aging sperm.
Yeah. The male factor often gets a little bit forgotten in not as much in the fertility journey if there is specifically reproductive trouble, because then we're looking at both parties. But for a lot of couples who maybe don't consider themselves to have any sort of infertility problems or anything like that, very often the man's health is extremely overlooked in this equation. Mm-hmm. So anyway, at the end of the day, what I think this boils down to is basically aging and exposure. So working on your diet and lifestyle and self-care, and also working with a practitioner who can help to support your antioxidant function, hormone balance, and the other factors we've discussed, can really help to maintain both sperm and egg quality and improve your chances for a healthy pregnancy. Thanks so much for spending your time with us. And thank you, Dr. Kate.
Thank you.
Kate and I busted time today because, let's face it, we like to talk. Please watch the video version in the show notes. See more of Dr. Kate at namesnd.com. That's namesnd.com. Or visit tohealthwiththat.com for myself, Dr. Amy. See you next week.